You have the Word of God, please take the Bible and turn to the Old Testament book of Ruth. To the Old Testament book of Ruth. We'll primarily be in the Old Testament this morning. The title of the message is From Disappointment to Destiny. From Disappointment to Destiny. The other Wednesday night I spoke about how God often gives a dream. It's a birth of a dream. And when dreams are birthed of God, there is expectation that is given. And when that expectation is there, we will find that God often begins to lead in our life in a certain manner that is contrary to the promise that He gave us, or the vision that He gave us, or the expectation that He gave us. Sometimes at the end of this thing, we see God bringing back that same vision in our life. He rebirths it. It's a death of a vision, a birth of a vision, a death of a vision, then the resurrection of the vision. Sometimes it's not as quite like we expected it when it's resurrected, because God has to purge our thoughts, our mind and heart, because we were not quite clear on what God wanted us to do. Maybe we had our own thoughts on the matter, and God had to redirect our thoughts and bring us back to the Scripture. Those things definitely do happen. In the book of Ruth, we have a family that has basically packed up and moved to a country, a foreign country of Moab. And many of you are very familiar with the story of Naomi and the story of Ruth. And we can glean some things today. I hope maybe God will help us with some things. Let's start reading in verse 1, chapter 1 of Ruth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. In other words, they settled down, bought a house, got the white picket fence, and everything was great. In verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, and also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter in laws, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Now, I want to skip over to verse number 14, if you would. And this is where they're about to depart. Naomi's about to go back to the land of Bethlehem. In verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but put apart death, but death apart thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went. Until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Now, Naomi is about to have, I usually don't preach as I'm reading scripture, but I'm trying to fill in some things here. Everything was great in life. Then all of a sudden, this lady's husband died. Then all of a sudden, we see her two sons dying. And she's having to make this journey back to Bethlehem, which was a dangerous journey, but a necessary one. And when she went back, now she's got to face people. And it's a little bit embarrassing because she has experienced not only a great tragedies, plural, but life has turned to a disappointment with her. And so now she's having to go back and face some things. And she said unto them, verse 20, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, and she returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now I want to go back, if you would, and just draw your attention back to verse 16 and verse 17. We're not going to read both verses, but I do want to point out how emphatic Ruth was when Naomi tried to get her to go back to her gods, as she did Orpha. When Ruth realized that she was not going to get this lady to turn, she left off speaking and basically said, "Okay, dear, get in the car. We will go back to the land of Bethlehem." And so what we see here is the beginning seeds of God taking somebody from disappointment to their destiny. And I want to point out those ingredients because being in the ministry and evaluating my own life, there's many a times when we want God's best for us. We want that destiny. We want that promised land that God has promised for us. Those prayers that we have prayed in life. And somehow things have become a disappointment in the process of life. And we forget that God's superintending hand is overlooking every phase of our life. And this past week with the inauguration, my mind went back to something I read quite some time ago, and I recently read it again, where Benjamin Franklin stood up in the Congress, and he said, because the Continental Congress was so discouraged, they were actually going home. Looked like the country wasn't going to happen, in other words. The delegates were actually so frustrated with one another, they were leaving and going home. And Benjamin Franklin stood up and gave a speech. And a part of that speech, he alluded to the fact, he said, you know, the Scripture says that the Almighty, Benjamin Franklin all referred to God as the Almighty. He said that the Almighty, if so much as a sparrow falls and the Almighty takes notice, how in the world are we going to raise a nation without Him taking notice? So I beseech thee, my friends, that we go home and we pray and fast and ask our great friend to help us in these matters. And one delegate came back and wrote in his memoirs, he said, God began to move in a disappointing situation. And then when we came back the next day, all the bitterness, all the confusion, all the hate was dissipated, and we began to work together, and now we see what happened in that room. We experienced the fruit of that. You see, even in disappointing any situations in life, we see the hand of God can move and do great things if God is invoked. And you see, God had a plan for Ruth. She's in the Bible. Matter of fact, the book is named after her. She didn't know that when her husband died. Naomi, she's recorded in Scripture too. Hey, she didn't know that when her husband and two sons died. But she's in the Word of God. You see, she got to the point, she said, I'm bitter. The Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. And you know, there are bitter times in life. And I was sharing with the young people this morning, this actually was the part of the Sunday school lesson in the book of Ruth this morning, that life does throw us some disappointments. But that will not in and of itself keep us from God's destiny. What keeps us from God's destiny is the fact that we don't have the steadfastness and the determination to stick with God during the hard times. Notice what Ruth said here. And then this is what I'm trying to get across to you this morning. Please don't miss this. It is the fact that this woman had something in her that says, look, I'm going to stick with you, Naomi. I'm going to serve your God. I'm going to go to be with your people. You see, when life gets hard and gets disappointing, I look around in church. Some days people are there, some days they're gone. And I know what's going on. They're dealing with disappointment. And all I can do, I know this may be a bad mental figure, but stay with me. I get my pom-poms out. And I say, look, come on, God's for you. You know, some of you got your mouth open. I can't imagine that. I told you it was horrific. You know, but that's what Barnabas did in the New Testament. He was an encourager. And it's hard to get people to see that, look, God's got a great destiny for you. And He's got some great things for you and a good thing for you. And it's like this, righteousness exalteth the nation. And that righteousness will exalt an individual. You can't help to get around God and not get exalted. You can't help to get around a good God and good things begin to happen. I don't know what God's will was for Naomi, but I know life was not working out for her. The Bible records so. And she has some devastating things to happen to her. Things that I pray that you and I don't have to face, or at least face repetitively. She buried two children. And a husband. I got to think the other day how many children my grandmother buried before she passed. It was, I can't remember, two or three, at least three. What a sad thing. That would cause your heart to get bitter, would it not? But I want you to notice here that Ruth was so inclined to stay with her. And God saw something in this one. Listen, how many believe that the Bible is inspired by God? Amen. These verses are not here because God needed some more places to put some ink on paper, if you will. God wants us to see the determination of this woman's heart. And there are many times that God has a great thing for us, but we are not determined to stick with God through the hard times. And we are not determined to stay with God through these difficult times. You see, God saw her steadfastness, and God saw it when she said, I am not going back to my false gods. You know why people get out of church? They meander back to their false way of living, their false God, and that's a life God can't bless. That's a life He can't bless. By the way, it's a life He's not going to bless. Pray all you want to. Tell God you're on His side all you want to. He is not going to bless that life. I was sharing with a young man yesterday. I said this very carefully. I said, look, I said, and you talk to most anybody outside of atheism, they're going to say, yeah, I love God. I like God. You know, most people will say that. And I had to stop the individual. Look, it's not about you saying okay with God, but listen, here's the thing. Your life has to come in complete agreement with God. Your life has to come in agreement with Scripture. If you want God to bless you like He wants to bless you. If not, life is going to continue to be a constant, incessant disappointment. No wonder we got so many people on drugs and alcohol. It is about understanding that God is good. And understanding our life must have come under agreement with God. And God wants some faithfulness and commitment out of us. I can't emphasize that enough. And the thing that happens oftentimes is when we begin to evaluate our life, and if we don't like something in the Scripture, it's almost, well, God's wrong. So people don't say that, do they, Pastor? No, they don't say that. But what they say is, that verse don't apply to me. And so in essence, what they're saying, God, you're wrong. So God's got to take that out of the Bible, I guess, to suit you or to suit me. And that is not a life that God blesses. You see, God, there are disappointments in life. This lady was facing a series of disappointments in her life, devastating disappointments in her life. But you see God working with Ruth and bringing her, both of them, into a position here where God wanted to bless. Now this little verse over here, excuse me, I got two Bibles up here. I got to be careful which one. They're both the same. They just turn to different passages. Let's read verse 22. We often read these parts in the scriptures like, I can't understand the Bible. I don't get why that's there. This is here for, God puts His phrases and words there for a reason. Verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem, get this, in the beginning of barley harvest. Why did God put that in there? Because you see God here working in the affairs of human lives. Now, if we read the second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, we know that Boaz, who is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, he and Ruth are eventually going to meet, fall in love, and get married. And the great things begin to happen. But listen, when Ruth and Naomi were experiencing these disappointments in life, they didn't know what was down the road. And you may be in that disappointing position in life right now where it's like, I don't know what's down the road. I'm coming to church. I just don't know if it, I'm hoping, I'm praying. Listen, I got two things to say to you if you're in that category this morning. Number one, commit to God to be faithful no matter what. Number two, get your life in agreement with Scripture and stop making excuses and having a narcissistic attitude like the Bible doesn't apply to you. Because God wants to bless you. Now, I'm hating to have to give you some tough medicine this morning. But some of you need it. The Bible is for all of us to obey, not to debate. Amen. I keep going back to certain people that I've counseled with over the years. I remember this guy came to me one time. He laid some problems out there, and I said, here's what you got to do. He didn't like what I had to say, so he went to another preacher. Thank God that man told him the truth. And he came back and he said, this pastor said the same thing you did. This guy was working on his third marriage. He came back and said, you know what? I'm going to do what the Bible said. It was hard, but he did it. And his life went from total disappointment, calling me on the phone, crying. This is a strong man. I'm talking a man. Calling me, crying on the phone. What am I going to do? I said, look, brother, it hurts. I know that you're going to transition, but stay with God. I'm telling you, He's going to bless you. Now, he had no idea what God had for him. But in a year and a half, the man went from looking at devastating relationship, getting married, having a baby, went from a townhouse to owning 60 acres of land. Short order. You know why? There was a point where he says, you know what, God, no matter how bad it hurts, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to put the Bible to me and not analyze the Bible, but let the Bible analyze me. And when he began to do that, God was starting, I'll be honest with you. He come to me preaching to me about how good God and what God was. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm like, God, I'm getting a little jealous here. I mean, God was just throwing out the blessings of this man. Amen. I'll be honest. I'm telling you the truth. I'm like, that was more than one occasion. I'm helping him help me. You know. And some of us have been obedient to God. But you know what? There's more obedience in our heart that God wants of us. So I'm not preaching just to a certain group here this morning. You see, God was bringing them back at harvest time. Because God knew that at a certain point, Boaz was going to be in the field. And God had a plan that He wanted Ruth to meet Boaz. And so God worked in the affairs of human lives for them to meet at a certain point, at a certain time. So we can see that disappointments turn to destiny because God has a divine appointment in our lives if we follow close to Him. I think about the divine appointments in my life. How many of you ever had a divine appointment? A divine appointment is simply this. When somebody God sends and puts in your life to help you. That's a divine appointment. I've had them so many times. And I thank God. I thank God. And let me tell you, you know when they come? When you're at your wit's end. When you don't know your left hand from your right. When you're so distraught and discouraged, depressed, ready to give up on life and getting mad at God and everybody else. Because life is disappointment. You see, what God is trying to teach us, look, stop fighting against me. That's what He's saying. Stop fighting against me. I want you to go to 1 Samuel. I'm going to use my other Bible. 1 Samuel. We see here, disappointment again. Disappointment to what? Destiny. Same. How many are familiar with Hannah? She, Lord bless this girl. Wow. She wanted to be a mommy so bad. She wanted to be a mommy so bad. She couldn't have a child. And you know what's so bad? I've heard godly parents say this, or godly people, couples say this. You know what? I want a child so bad. And I go to the grocery store and see these kids acting up and the mom and dad being hateful to them. They don't realize God gave them a gift to love, to raise in His admonition, in His ways. You see, in 1 Samuel, we have Hannah. She's in the church house, if you will. And she's praying to God about this matter of being childless. And I want you to notice here in verse 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, that's Hannah's husband, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Have you ever been in a situation in life where reason just don't help you? Trying to reason out, or people trying to reason with you, it just doesn't help you. And this woman, look, notice, her heart was grieving. Grieving over a natural right of childbearing. She was grieving. It got to the point where she wasn't eating anything. You ever been so distraught about something that you just, I don't feel like eating today. Just miss your meal. Now, some of you, I'd be hard convinced if you said yes. Like you would with me. But actually, I have been there, and I'm sure many of you have been there. And perhaps recently. Eli, the priest, she's in the temple and she's praying. I'll tell you the story to save a little time here. She's in the temple praying and asking God to do something in her life that she knows she's got to have God to do it. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing ever happened, and prayed and prayed. And you remember Ruth, how committed she was? Remember her faithfulness, or just steadfastness? I want you to pick up on this steadfastness in verse number 11 right here. And the Bible says, and she vowed a what? Vow. And said, O Lord of hosts. Now, Lord of hosts is a phrase that is used when you need God to do some fighting for you. When you need God to get into something and work for you. Okay? And he said, O Lord of hosts, thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid. This woman was hurting. And remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Do you see the commitment this woman is putting forth? You see, we pray prayers And we come to God and say, God, I need this. But there's no commitment of steadfastness behind it. There's no greater degree of faithfulness in our life. There's a day that I started the Sunday school. I was sharing this recently with someone. I wasn't in church. I would go to church. I wouldn't go to Sunday school. You see, there's certain things God wants you to be faithful to be committed to. And then once you got the Christian life down outwardly, and simultaneously, God will also begin to work in the heart and take ground in the heart. And what I'm saying is, do you see that this woman is willing to give back to God what she's asking from God? Do you see the level of commitment to God from going from discouragement to destiny? And you know what? I sensed almost a great movement of patriotism this past week. Haven't you sensed that? But I'll tell you one thing I wonder if we lost in America. And it simply comes down to this. And I wonder if we lost it in the church too. It is simply the grit that we need, the determination that we need to be the Christians that we need to be. Now, I'm not saying that we're Christians by our self-will, but I am telling you something. This float through the air, do as I want to do type of Christianity, I don't see where God blesses that. That's what I'm telling you this morning. And God doesn't see the faithfulness, enough faithfulness, a lot of times in our lives, for us to be blessed like we see He blesses His people in the Scripture. I read the story of Ruth and I look at her life and she lost her husband. And I look at her life and then we flip over here in the back pages and we see God doing, in Ruth chapter number 4, let's turn there please. We see God doing something that only He can do. We see God working and healing hearts and healing lives, and almost it's like God just making everything good. Everything's being made good. It's like the guy I was referring to you earlier. It's like when you see other people, God blessing others, listen, don't get envious. Say, hey, what are you doing? Tell me, what are you doing? God's hands on you. What are you doing? What are you doing? You see, Ruth and Boaz, they got married, went on a honeymoon, went to Hawaii. Just kidding. In Ruth chapter number 4, verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day. Did you get that? Blessed be the Lord that hath not left thee. Do you think for a moment where the thought may have come into her mind a while back when she had nothing, when she was husbandless, when she had lost two children? Now, if you notice here, God is talking to Naomi. They are talking to Naomi. They are not talking to Ruth. Ruth is one that had the baby. But Naomi, she lost two sons and a husband. And she was bitter. Now notice what the Bible, let's read this again, verse 14. And the women said unto her, Blessed be the Lord, which not hath left thee this day without a what? Kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy what? Life. Now that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nourisher in thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, get this, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. You see, God took a disappointing situation, turned it into a great destiny. What's the great destiny? Well, if you read down here in verse 22, the Bible says the baby's name was Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat who? David. That's King David. God took this woman from incredible, devastating disappointment to a destiny she never thought she was going to be in, the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to Hannah? Well, I can flip the pages maybe a little faster than you can because I know where I want to go. So let me just read a few things to you. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, God began to say, He said, I will raise me up a faithful priest. You see that? I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it came to pass that after everyone that is left in thy house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, so and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices that I may eat. Now this is God. He's referring back to the vow that Hannah had. She had a baby. You know what his name was? Samuel. Samuel was the prophet that anointed Saul. Samuel was the prophet that took Israel and began to lead it. Let me put it to you this way. Samuel was the man that spiritually mentored David at times and helped this man. You're talking about a divine appointment. You see, God knew David was going to need a man to help him at times of struggle and at times of trial. You see, God knew that, and he needed a woman somewhere along the line to be able to give a child to God, to decree him to God that he will turn not to the left or to the right, but seek God of all his heart to be able a prophet in the land, because the ones that the Eli that was there at the time, his two sons were prostituting out the temple of God, and God wasn't pleased with it, and he needed somebody that was going to be committed to him. And when God saw that commitment in Hannah, because God had a need and she had a need, and she made a vow, and God said, okay, you that serious about it, I want your son, I'm going to teach him, I'm going to guide him, I'm going to put my heart in my mind and my thoughts in his heart, because I want my nation back. And when God saw that commitment, Hannah went from disappointment to destiny. And then we see here, in verse 19 in chapter 3, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to what? The ground. You see, she raised a son that was going to take God's things seriously. And then she brought him and presented him to the Lord. You see, we want God's best, but listen, God requires some commitment. He requires that steadfastness, unwavering dependability. He that is faithful in the least will be faithful in what? I asked one of my children the other day, I said, what do you want out of life? I mean, really, come on. It's one of those parents' moments. You know, one of those huddle up, let's have a little rally here. So what do you want? You want much out of life or little? Much. Okay, something's required if you want much. Let me tell you what it is. It's called faithfulness. Sometimes I get sick. Sometimes you get sick. That means you don't come to church. But just because it rains don't mean I can't go. Do you see how so many things just blow us off course just like that? And God's going, I got a great plan for you. I got a great plan for you. But I just don't see what I can help you with there. You see, this commitment to God allows God to work in our heart, to form us into the image of Christ. And that's what God blesses. It's not our commitment, but God can't work unless we're committed. And I found in my life, you can get committed, you can get your life down square and everything good, being in church when you want to, read your Bible, study that hard and follow the Lord hard. And, you know, God still wants that deep commitment in your heart to take more ground in your heart for those who have gotten some victory over things. Many of us here today are praying for God's great goodness in our life. But you know what God wants to see? Perhaps what he wants to hear is, God, listen, I'm just coming back to you. I'm telling you, I'm yours. I'm with you. And many of you are sitting there today thinking, oh, I'm with God. And I asked the young people this morning this. I said, something devastating happened in your life. Would you continue to follow God wholeheartedly? You know, you can come to church and still be bitter about some disappointments. You can come to church and still have unforgiveness in your heart. You see, that's the level of commitment God's looking for too. It's not just mere church attendance. I don't know how maybe God has spoken to you today, but I do see where God requires some things of us. Not that we can work, but so He can do what only He can do in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now. And I ask, Lord, you just touch this today, this poor my effort here. But Father, it's your word. Lord, there's no doubt many have disappointed. Some maybe have bitterness. Some maybe, like Peter, still following us afar off. Lord, help us to examine our own hearts today and say, Lord, am I committed to the level I truly need to be? I need you. I want you to work. Father, have your will and way today. If there's one here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, let today be the day they pray to you and ask God, ask you to forgive them. Ask Jesus into their heart, believing He died for them and rose again on the third day. Father, we need you today. I need you. Lord, there are things I'm praying, hoping, great things that only you can do. And Lord, I'm asking that today. Do a great work in our midst. In Jesus' name.